Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
My name is David.
And my name is Zach.
And we are the internet's premier Star Trek fan podcast. Guess. Coming at you today from...
Parts unknown.
CD Alpha 5, actually.
CD Alpha 5! I was hoping you picked up on that.
Oh,
that was totally for you.
Oh, I loved it. I loved it.
You know the joke about that, by the way?
What's the joke?
Is that the joke? So... we're going to jump right to the end right off the bat right mm-hmm. here. So that planet ends up dying. So in this alternate universe...
humanity's fucked.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's great. I really enjoy that continuity. I have a whole continuity section later.
Good. That's what they call me. The continuity kid.
That's what they do call you. And that's David, the continuity king. And here at the Star kid. Companion... DK is king of... Stars...
what are you?
You're the Star King?
No, I'm the Continuity Kid.
You're the Continuity Kid?
What are you?
Huh? This is...
If you like our podcast, you can contribute on patreon.com/StarCompanion.
That's right. We're on all major podcasting platforms.
That's right. And if you like us so much that you want a sticker, that sticker to be exact, you can email us your address and any thoughts, concerns, questions.
Not good at presenting. Vanna White really had a
the
good
star,
thing going.
TheStarCompanion@gmail.com. Did you say Lana White?
Vanna White.
Who's that?
On Wheel of Fortune.
Oh, okay. You know, I was listening to the radio today.
Congrats.
And I heard Summertime by Sublime.
Summertime, yeah.
Remixed by Lana Del Rey. That's the remix nobody asked for. Have you heard that?
No, I haven't heard that. Sounds terrible.
Anyways, that's a 2020 reference for anybody listening in the future.
That kind of sucks.
Today's episode is Enterprise, Season 3, Episode 8. The name of this episode is Twilight.
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 Stardate, still unknown.
Unknown.
But after the last episode, for sure. Today's episode is about... a alternate universe.
It's an alternate timeline.
Yeah, alternate timeline episode. Yeah. And I love these. I think they're great.
This was, I think, listed as like in the top 10 alternate timeline episodes of Star Trek.
Oh, yeah, it's great.
It's a fantastic episode.
Yeah, and it the climax of the episode, how it ends, is awesome.
Mm-hmm.
So Archer wakes up.
My favorite part about the climax is when Dad throws Phlox down and like folds her in really weird on the floor.
Phlox?
Dad. T'Pol.
Okay.
Sorry, these alien names. This is I'm gonna let you behind the curtain here, fellas and fans. This is our third episode in one sitting. And for those of you that don't know, these may appear better as time goes on, but to you, it's like, whoa, 3 days later, Zach's having a good time. I've been drinking. And so I botched these alien names. pretty consistently. I think I said...
You said dad folds her flocks up into...
He does fold her, dude. He folds to Paul up at
yeah,
the end.
Yeah, but you said flocks.
I know I said flocks. It's to Paul. Okay. You know the climax. You want a box on air? I figured that would be good in Arthur Shelby line, you know?
Oh, yeah. Like slap box?
Whatever, dude.
The episode starts with Captain... I'm just going to go ahead. Captain Archer waking up in his quarters and Enterprise is being attacked.
Uh-oh.
He runs out of his quarters. He says, "What the hell's going on?" And there's a security guard outside of his outside of his quarters. He says, "I think you need to go back to your quarters. Captain's orders." And he says, "Captain?" He says, "Yes. Orders from the captain." And Archer just fucking decks him.
Yep. This crazy little man comes out of his quarters shirtless.
Shirtless. With a water polo ball. Porthos hot on his heels.
Porthos.
And at this point, Archer looks out the window, and there's a Zindi ball, giant Zindi ball.
Oh, no.
And it destroys Earth.
And there's a very audible squelch as the Earth gets destroyed.
Very audible squelch.
Which I thought was fucking stupid.
Earth squelch.
Squelching?
Squelching.
Squelching's very, very, like, bio type, like, you know, scream.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so it's squelching.
Like a Zerg not sound a from StarCraft.
Yeah. That's pretty good. Did you see that old dad's got that old dad hair?
Old dad's an old silver fox with back pain.
Yeah.
God damn it.
I'd let him be my dad.
You know, back in my days, to play water polo back on a little planet called Earth because before it's blown up.
Earth.
See?
Earth.
I was a water polo player back on Earth. Had a good old hound. His name was Porthos, and he passed away a couple years ago. It was very sad.
I feel like dad's story arc here is what you want when you're old.
Me? Just
nothing matters, you
Me?
Know? You don't have to remember anything. You can just do whatever you want.
Yeah, that is kind of what I want. I've always said that there's something romantic about being a senile old man. Like getting naked and walking to the park.
There kind of is.
Yeah. Taking a dip in the fountain. I'm senile. I'm old. I don't know any better.
What are you going to do? Send me to jail? I'm 80.
Yeah.
But you totally do know better. So you think dad was faking?
Maybe.
Wow. That's a hot take. And for the hot takes, that's why you come to the Star Companion. If you enjoyed that one, you can send us an email at thestarcompanion@gmail.com.
You sure can. Dad in this alternate universe in the future is living with T'Pol.
Sit down, Jonathan.
Sit down, Jonathan. I have a memory to recount for you for the 20 millionth time.
How do you feel? Like a shuttle pod?
Would you like some cantaloupe?
Land it on your head?
Would you like some cantaloupe?
Cantaloupe?
I would like some cantaloupe. What happened?
Sad dad is super sad.
He is. Old dad's got debt.
Old dad hair.
Yeah.
That's true. You want to know a little anecdote about his haircut? I don't know if you noticed this.
Yeah.
So, his hair, right, looks a little weird beyond just being gray.
Yeah.
Wasn't the haircut a little different?
It was a bit longer.
So, that was actually an extra Ambassador Saval wig. And so the implication...
Was it really?
Yeah, the implication is that T'Pol was cutting his hair, which is why it looked a little Vulcan.
Wow, okay.
Yeah.
Wow, that level of detail is cool.
Yeah, no,
I like
totally.
That a lot. Yeah, it did look a little weird, didn't it?
No, it totally did.
It's interesting.
Yeah, my second watch has been an interesting ride.
Dad finds out that...
Meanwhile,
Dad finds out that this is all a result of his long-term memory being gone. Can't you see that it's gone? Can't you see? I'm setting up plot here.
Wow.
This is all a result of they went through an anomaly
spatial
back in the
anomaly.
Day.
Spatial anomaly.
Spatial anomaly. And the spatial anomaly implanted some interspatial, not in space, but
no,
spatial as
interspatial,
in time.
Interspatial, like, yeah, quantum.
Quantum parasites into Dad's brain, and as such, into his hippocampus, and as such, he's not able to form long-term memories
beyond that moment.
True.
Which I think, honestly, is such an excellent plot device.
Yeah.
And just the idea of getting a quantum bug. So, okay, I'm going to jump to the end of my review here.
Yeah.
This is a classic example of taking a used and told idea.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is basically Back to the Future.
Yeah.
To some extent.
Mm-hmm.
But told organically and originally, and it feels real and new, mm-hmm. even though, like, okay, sure, you eradicate the shit and everything goes back to normal.
Yeah.
But it felt, it was.
There's a modern take on it.
It's I read a really awful book that was derivative,
mm-hmm.
and this episode is derivative, and yet original and engaging.
Yeah.
And so if done properly, you can be derivative.
Oh, totally.
Yeah. You know, and I'm fine with some quantum timey-wimey nonsense if it's done right.
Well, and they add like basis for it. You know, mm-hmm. they say that there's an interspatial parasite.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
It does, actually.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah, out in the Delphic Expanse, there's some weird shit going on. There's parasites that live in between timelines.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, cool.
Well, at the quantum level.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, time's the fourth dimension, and time is man-made, so time mm-hmm. may not actually work in space.
Right.
Therefore, you can have something that doesn't adhere to the same level of time.
Mm-hmm.
And so it could... If you caught it, I guess in your brain, it could fuck with your shit. Who knows?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, this is actually plausible from like a physics standpoint.
Totally. Yeah. And that's why I like this episode a lot, as much as I'm about to tear it up.
Did you know that they just killed Travis? For no fucking reason? Oh, Travis! And they keep going on.
In this timeline, Travis has died.
Travis died unceremoniously. It was savage.
So I guess to backtrack a little bit, Dad wakes up in the future and he says, "What the hell's going on?" T'Pol's out making a breakfast. She says, "Sit down, Jonathan. I'm going to tell you a story that I've told you about 20 million times at this point." She says, "You know, back in the day, you went through this spatial anomaly, and you got a parasite in your brain, right? And due to this parasite in the brain..."
I told you to leave, but now I'm guilty because you stayed to help me survive.
Yeah. Due to this parasite in your brain, it all started with our daily briefings.
What?
Right? At your daily briefings, you kept bringing up shit from like a week ago. Yeah. Guys, I came up with an idea for the antimatter inducers.
Yep. You've heard this before.
And I saw it on your notes.
No, I know.
Yeah.
I saw you looking.
And Dad says, "I came up with this a week ago."
What?
Yeah, actually. What? And he says, "Well, looks like I'm just wasting time here. Guess I'll just go back to my quarters and watch the new water polo match." The joke being,
yeah,
water polo match sex from a month ago. And he's seen it like 10 times.
That was a good joke, dude.
Thank you.
Wow.
After this...
What do they call you?
Jokey Dave.
Jokey Dave?
Shortly after this, the Zindi get into a battle with Enterprise.
Yep, and there's a sincere lack of grenade use.
There is. Mayweather dies
mm-hmm.
completely,
mm-hmm.
unceremoniously. And as a result of this battle, the nacelle for Enterprise is damaged.
Shit!
Which means Enterprise can't go more than 1.7 warp.
They take some warriors, though, right?
They do?
I mean, prisoners of war.
They do?
Yeah, and then what does Ship say? Space them, Dad.
Space them, Dad.
We gotta space them.
Space them, Dad.
Which I think is a great, great way to kill people.
I love how that's the name for ejecting people out the airlock.
Yeah, man.
Spacing them.
Just space them.
Yeah. Just space them.
You know, since Dad got sick, this mission's been one wrong turn after another.
It really has. T'Pol has been given command of
she got a field commission to be captain.
To be the captain of Enterprise. Dad has been stripped of his command, relegated to his quarters.
Quarters.
And in this battle, Dad may have lost his ability.
Dad
may have lost his ability to remember things, but he still hasn't lost his ability to beat a reptilioid to death with his coveted Starfleet trophy.
Yeah, son.
Dad beats the shit out of that reptilioid.
That trophy, by the way, if I have this written down correctly, God damn it. It's a statue of Cochrane that he beats him to death with.
At the end of this battle, Phlox says 13 dead, 22 critically injured. But did you see Dad beat the shit out of that guy with his fucking trophy?
Dope.
What's the line from Anchorman? Brick killed the guy.
Brick killed the guy. Yeah, I saw that.
Should probably lay low, Brick.
The Zindi even took out the Vega colony, bro.
They did, yeah. After this battle, the Zindi go on a tear. They destroy Earth. They destroy Alpha Centauri. They destroy Vega.
If I may.
Go for it.
I think it sounds like this. Squelch, squelch, squelch. Bunch of unnecessary squelches. You know, this weapon, it's very reminiscent of something. I'm not quite putting it together.
Elaborate.
It's like a big spherical, like, planet killer.
Like a star of death? Doom.
Yeah, doom.
Death is better.
Oh,
yeah,
no,
yeah.
Okay. No, I liked doom, like a doom star.
Like a doom star, yeah.
Something like that. Interesting. Why does everyone go to that?
That's a good point.
Why,
like,
you know,
a, like a planet killer base.
Yeah. Yes, that. Why can't it just be like, we're going to inflict like a, you know, you got 3 seconds and this pathogen is going to make you turn into a Cronenberg. You know, like, nice. You're going to die.
Yeah.
In 3 seconds. But instead it's like, you know what? You know what? Killer. We're going to shoot a laser into the core and it's going to like
fuck up a bunch of
shit. Overload the volcanoes and split that shit into like a billion pieces, because that's dope.
That is such an overused science fiction trope, isn't it?
It is.
Lava's going to come pouring out of every volcano on the planet and it is just going to destroy every living thing within an inch of its life. It's going to go whopping and a whooping. At this point, Dad gets transported back to the present, which is the present in the alternate timeline. And Dad asks, how many of us are left? And T'Pol says, less than 6,000. And Dad goes, no! And he runs outside and he's in a shanty village.
And it looked like a...
And he says, what?
District 9.
It did. He says, what planet are we on? She says...
What does she say, David?
She says, we're on CD Alpha 5.
She didn't say it like that.
Well, she says we're on the fifth planet in the City Alpha system.
What does that make you think of, though?
Well,
how would you say that?
Well, but at
is this a setup to something you were trying to say?
It is, because Dad at this point asks, "This is City Alpha 5?"
That was subtle and nice.
This is City Alpha 5.
I love the fact that they settled on City Alpha 5.
Me too.
Yeah, such a smart play.
It is. Yeah, and. There's a multi-layeredness to that, right? Because it's not only saying that... It's not only a callback to TOS, Wrath of Khan. I think there's another... There's a TNG or a Voyager episode that goes to Seed Alpha 5. But it also implies that humanity is doomed regardless.
Mm-hmm.
I like that idea.
Oh, no, totally.
Yeah. Wrath of Khan... TOS, yeah. Space Seed, which is the Botany Bay episode. Mm-hmm. That's where he maroons Khan. Looks like it's in 0 hour, too.
Yeah, well, it's like the alternate. Shran shows up at the end of the Zindi arc.
And Shran shows up in this episode, too, albeit through an illusion.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the the real story,
mm-hmm,
is different, which is fun.
It is, yeah. It is.
Cool.
But I like that. I just love that implication that, like, you know, there's this, even in a different timeline, humanity still ends up on CD Alpha 5. Like, there's some weird kind of cosmic draw between humanity and CD Alpha 5. CD Alpha 5,
yeah.
Which Trip later refers to as a borderline Minshara class planet. Which it is.
Which, that in and of itself is good writing, because it was borderline Minshara class, and it ends up being far from it.
Certainly. Especially when that the orbit has moved a little bit. T'Pol says,
at this point, you really think you are the victim of some elaborate deception.
But you're not. In fact, let me tell you, I know all about old Margaret Mullen.
I'm glad you put that down.
And I bet she was blonde.
Yeah? How'd you know that?
How much money you want to bet that Margaret Mullen was blonde?
Of course she was blonde.
Yeah, fuck yeah, she was blonde.
What Dad wants blonde kids.
Yeah. And so Archer at this point questions his relationship with T'Pol. He says, well, our relationship used to be captain and sub commander. And she says, that's true. And he says, but exactly how much has our relationship evolved? And T'Pol says, anal.
Yeah, wow.
And foot stuff.
I don't remember that.
She says foot stuff, too.
She says foot stuff?
Foot stuff.
Wow, that's weird. Well, that kind of reminds me. Oh, go ahead.
It's more of an implication.
That kind of reminds me of an episode about, like, there's a bunch of cum jokes between, like, 10 and 26 on season one.
It just gets called bigger.
Called Voxala.
It just gets bigger every time.
We had a good time that one.
You said 15 to 21.
I know what I said last time. I did that on purpose. If you want a really good episode, I think it's Star Trek Picard, episode 4.
Yeah.
Where we just start talking about, like, Borg fantasies. It's worth going back to.
No, it's gentrified Borg hipsters.
Yeah.
And they're modern.
I haven't laughed that much in a long time.
Me too.
That was good stuff.
I haven't laughed that much since India. Huh? We laughed at that guy selling watches.
Oh my god. If you want to know the story, send us an email at thestarcompanion@gmail.com.
So Dad's trying to make sense of all this. And at this point, Dr. Phlox shows up and he says, Captain, I've got a cure for your parasites.
I'm going to fix that motherfucking brain, son. It's time. It's been a decade.
And the way is I'm going to doze it, right, as we gets back up on the Enterprise.
We need a warp drive, son, to fix that motherfucker. Let me tell you, you're beyond repair.
In fact...
Except for me.
Enterprise be patrolling this sector.
It's here now.
And we're going to heads back up there. Uh-huh. And they heads back up there. And once they get there, former Captain Archer is greeted by now acting Captain Tucker.
Tucker, and then bullshit-ass Reed's goatee.
And Tucker says...
That shit was repressive.
You got a few people want to meet you. Of course, not that one black guy that used to be on Enterprise.
Travis He's is dead.
Reed's got a goatee.
You can see that it was glued on.
And you can see they sunk his eyes a little bit more than usual.
So stupid. Everyone else was like, okay, but Reed looked like shit.
Yeah, he really did. Well, and his voice inflection, too. Like, he was really trying to sell that. Like, I'm older now. I don't know why he has a country accent now.
Then they put Dad into an iron lung and space ray his brain. They space rayed this shit out of that brain and that iron lung, man.
They put him in an iron lung.
I mean, that's what that looked like.
Put him in an iron lung. And during this time, Phlox kind of asks about the nature of their relationship.
Phlox, ever the matchmaker.
He says, What's going on here?
What's going on between you guys?
T'Pol says, I don't know what you're talking about. He says, obviously there's an attraction here, but perhaps things will be different. Are you trying to get another wife? What's going on here? Like, he seems like he's trying to move in on this fucking shit.
I think he just gets fucking hard off of hooking people up. I also think he's got three dicks.
Fucking iron lung. Right. He does have a bifurcated dick. This has been proven in a previous episode. And I don't remember what episode it is, but he either has a bifurcated dick or his dick is spinny, like it, like a pig's tail.
Spinny.
Spinny.
Noted. Great. We're doing good.
Fucking iron lung.
They put Dad in an iron lung and space ray his brain.
As this is happening, shit starts going down. The Zindi somehow find a way to get back into, get into this quadrant.
Through some filthy, sewed-up faced alien.
Some pig face alien. And Tucker says, we can't afford to be doing these experiments anymore. We gotta fight the Zindi. And the Zindi, so everybody agrees, and they start attacking the Zindi. And once the Zindi start attacking the Enterprise, it's proven that the shields are more effective this time. What? And this is all thanks to a little person known as General Shran.
I like that guy.
Let me tell you something about Jeffrey Combs.
Shran the man.
Shran the man. Admiral Shran. General Shran. I love Shran. He's a blue-faced little motherfucker, and I like him.
Is he good for you?
He's good for me. Have you been wondering where Shran is? Where's Shran?
Where is he?
This whole time. What's he doing?
He's obviously offering favors.
Let me tell you something. Where's the autobiography of Shran?
The man.
The man.
The non-pink skin.
Where is he? He shows up a lot in the fourth season.
Zindi start whopping and a-whooping their way through the CD Alpha system.
A whopping and a-whooping.
There's some cold-blooded mamma-jammas, man. And I like how as the reptilioids board Enterprise and they blow the bridge off of Enterprise. Tucker and the whole
bridge crew is fucking decimated.
And I like how all forward scientific and tactical advancements have stopped since Dad has not been captain. Mm-hmm. Have you noticed that? Dad's captain, now all of a sudden they got the Moads.
Mm-hmm.
Makos, sorry. They got the Makos on board. I'm not good at abbreviations.
Yeah.
And
you're not down with the abbreves, dude?
I'm not. And Dad ends up saying, let's redirect this power towards me. They head off into the engine room, and there's a fight, there's a struggle. Phlox is taken out, T'Pol's taken out. Dad miraculously withstands four shots from his Zindi rifle and says, if we can decimate these parasites, we can get the timeline back on time.
I know. I don't remember anything, but can't we fix this with a subspace implosion?
We'll kill me.
With a subspace implosion?
And my parasites.
On some timey-wimey fucking quantum bullshit? Yeah.
And his dad...
Of course that'll
is
work.
Is Dad proven right, Zach?
Dad is proven right.
What happens?
Hey, David, you know what?
Yeah?
You'd make a wonderful nurse.
You know what else he'd make a wonderful?
Let me tell you something.
French maid.
Yeah. This was such a good episode.
Yeah.
And it quite literally ends with Dad going, T'Pol, can you give me another pillow?
Fix my pillows.
Will you, T'Pol, will you turn down the lights? And she's exasperated. And we have this 45 minutes of great fucking science fiction and Star Trek. And he goes, hey, Buttrist. T'Pol, you know, you'd make a wonderful nurse. Really? That was the sign-off line?
I love you, T'Pol.
God damn it.
But it ain't never gonna work in this timeline.
God damn it. Maybe it'll work with a different white man from this ship.
Maybe.
One with a drawl that's kind of like this and likes being in the bayou.
And
a
dead sister.
With a dead sister. Let's see if I have any extra notes here. This was supposed to be a story with Janeway and Chakotay, and it like kind of was, but not fully. People were upset about the reset button on this one, but fuck them. I think it works out.
The reset button. Archer killing himself?
Yeah, and it goes back to normal.
I think it's compelling.
I think it's compelling and concise and actually enjoyable. And now,
I agree.
Now let's get to the real meat of this. Mm-hmm. A scene with an aged Porthos was shot for the future sequences, but didn't make it into the final show. Oh,
God.
I would have loved to have seen that. And then in the present scenes, the scene was cut at movie night where Archer told to Paul about Porthos being stressed and that he might benefit from neuropressure.
Mother of God.
And I told you about Archer's trimmed hair. Yep. You got the Wrath of Khan continuity.
Yep.
Yeah, advancements, technical advancements from Shran. The object Archer uses to fatally stab that reptilian soldier was there from Cochrane's statue.
Yes, sir.
Which is the same statue described by Geordi in First Contact.
Mm-hmm.
And then, yeah, I mean, whatever. So, I mean, that's pretty much it.
There you go.
Yeah.
Good episode.
Great fucking episode. Awesome episode. I fully enjoyed it.
It's been, last two episodes have been a duo of really good episodes.
Yeah. I mean, it's been a long road getting to here, but, like, now that we're from, like, there to here, it feels like...
We're hitting our stride.
I've got some, like, real faith of the heart in this series.
I would agree.
Yeah.
I would agree.
You know, because, like, I've got faith.
I've got faith.
This has been The Star Companion.
You can send us an email
at thestarcompanion@gmail.com. If you like it so much, you can send us a dollar or more at patreon.com/thestarcompanion. We're on all major podcasting platforms. Send a like and a subscribe, and we'll give you one of these dope motherfucking stickers.
One of these?
Yeah, one of those that David's showing up. He has a better command of the camera. I don't. And
face made for camera.
Yeah. Thanks for listening. And yeah, David has a face made for camera. That's what I've always.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.